If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 is where we're going to be at. Today we're going to continue our study through the book of Galatians. And the title of the sermon here, I think what I decided to go up back there is the key to living holy. The key to living holy. And obviously, the theme of the sermon is going to be and can you live holy? How to live holy? You know, I put this question here in my notes. Has God given us a catch-22? Now, who knows what catch-22 is? Okay? It's a phrase that you use to describe a dilemma or a difficult circumstance from which there's no escape because of a mutually conflicting or dependent condition. So, and we've been studying through Galatians, we've been studying about living holy, we talked about legalism, we talked about on that we're not supposed to sin just because we can or want to. So has God given us a catch-22? You said, what do you mean? Well, we want to live holy, right? I think we all agree. We're going to talk about him in just a minute. We're going to live holy. So let's see what God wants, how God wants us to live. Let's look at the Ten Commandments and follow them. But wait. Last week we looked at chapter 5, verse 13 that said we are free or we have liberty from the law. We made it clear last week, and I went through all the things about the process about that we're free from the law. But the law, but freedom doesn't mean, or freedom has limits, and that how that we're limited by love, and that love fulfills the law. We already talked about last week, but we are, as we said last week, and I'm about to trip on this, let me move that a little bit, more die on that, so. Anyway, I went roller skating last night. I only fell one time, so. Thought I did, and that's because I was trying to do a little spinning, like. So that was it, so I thought I did good, and I about fell there, so. Anyway. But we are free from the law. I've talked about it. We'll talk about it more today. We're not to become legalistic. But at the same, so then the question is, so if we're not supposed to be legalists, we're not under the law, so then can we do what we want? No. But we're not to give, as the Bible says in the verses, give the flesh an opportunity to sin. So, I know we've already expounded on this last week and know the answer to some degree, but what are we to do? The better question is, what is the key to holy living? I mean, if, like I said, we'll talk about today too, if holy living is not a list of 1 through 10 of things to do, okay? We're going to talk about that today. But let's read the verses, verse 17. It says, on verse 16, actually, I guess, see. We'll do verse 16 and 12. Then I say, we talked about this last week, walk in the Spirit. Now, this is, I have a typo in my sermon. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things which ye would. But if you are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Let's pray. Father, and ask you for the next few minutes. Lord, and that people come today and they got things on their mind. Lord, some of them are getting over sicknesses. Some of them are maybe not feeling well today. Some of them got people in their family that's sick, Lord, and things they're dealing with. And Lord, I know that there's a host of things that we have on our mind. I know myself, I'm thinking about the people who are not here today. Lord, who haven't been here for a while that's concerning me. Lord, but right now I ask you to clear my mind of them issues right now. I ask you to clear the people's mind today, that we can look today at a very important topic of the key to living holy. I'm going to ask you to help us today, as we do that, Lord, that you'll convict us if we need convicting, encourage us if we need encouraging. But Lord, I ask you to continue just to instruct us that I know we all need today, and I ask you to be with us today in Christ's name. Amen. So the first thing I'll look at here, and it's kind of a foundation, and I will say, if you don't, something can be kind of like math. If you don't pay attention to the first point, you may get lost in the second point, because I'm going to refer back to the first point. Because if you fall asleep with me in the first point, which will be kind of easy to do because it's a little more technical, You know, then you're gonna be like, well, sick point don't mean anything either, Miss Janet, right? So stay with me. And we get to the third point, probably by that point, we'll just kind of go through it real fast and be done, because the second point is going to take a while. First and second point are going to take a while. But here it is. Number one, what the key to living holy? The first thing here is the review to live holy. That's the first thing I want to look at here, is the review to live holy. And letter A here is pursuit to live holy. And you can put in front of that, our pursuit to live holy, okay? I want you to understand, and we're going to pick up from last week, because it all ties together. In the command, I read these two verses somewhere in my sermon last week, and that we are to live holy. Once again, just because we're not under the law, the pursuit to live holy was in the Old Testament, but it's also in the New Testament. I'll read the New Testament verses, because God didn't change. His standard never changes. I want you to understand that. 2 Corinthians 7:1, hanging therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, that's an interesting phrase, perfecting. So, are we not already holy? Are we not already justified? We're going to answer that here in just a minute in the review here. But, another verse, Romans 12:1, I read it last week. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you should bring your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, when it is a reasonable service. So here's the logic that you might say this, you might ask this question. If we're saved, why do I need to perfect holiness? Good question. Salvation justified me. Just that I've never sinned. Yes. You are clear. You're clean. When God looked at you, you are holy. But we are to pursue holiness. Now, the solution comes in understanding this one phrase or one word, sanctification. And I've said this a lot, but it keeps coming back up for some reason. Sanctification. Now, what is sanctification? I should have brought out, I got a theology book, systematic theology book. I should have brought it out here because I'm going to quote them. Sanctification is a separation to God. It's an imputation of Christ as our holiness. There it is. Okay? But here's the third one. It's purification from moral evil. That's the pursuit of holiness. And then also a conformation to the image of Christ. If you're conforming to the image of Christ, that means you're becoming holy. Okay? So, now, that don't mean that much. It means a lot. But here's the next thing, and I'm going to quote I think it was Henry Thiessen, systematic theology. Sanctification is both an act and a process. It is different from justification, which is an act that takes place once. And I've said it before, and I want you to, I'll say it again. When we get saved, we are positionally sanctified. Okay, that's the act of sanctification. You are sanctified. You have been saved. You have the Holy Spirit. If you die, you're going to go to heaven because you are under the blood. Okay, but there's also the process, the second one, the process of sanctification. Okay, this means on the basis of what the believer has done at conversion, he is admonished, biblically admonished, to do the same in his own experience. That means that what's on the inside should be manifest on the outside. Okay, that's the process of sanctification. We are called to grow in holiness. We're called to be fruitful. You know, we're showed to work out on salvation, to maturity, things like that. We are called to grow and mature, okay? So, what does this have to do with our text? But that's a good question, because my theme is, you know, the key to holiness. And if you're like me, you may have already looked. If you have a critical mind like me, you know, you're a preacher, there's no word holiness in there. I got you. I'll take care of you. Chapter 5, verse 13, it says, for brethren, we have been called to liberty, only you not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but to love and serve one another. Okay, so right there. We're called not to sin. What's the opposite of not sinning? Living holy. And by the way, if you love your brethren, that means you're going to keep the commandment. We explained that last week. 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Once again, we see that concept of not living unholy. Chapter 5, verse 24. And that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and the lust. Okay? So he didn't say live holy, but he's definitely saying don't live unholy. Okay? So indirectly, we're seeing here that we are to live holy. We clearly see a theme here. I'll take time out. Stay with me. We're building something. And point two, it's going to be hopefully a lot better. We clearly see a theme. A saved person will be manifesting on the outside what happened on the inside. In other words, they will be purifying all evil while conforming to Christ. In other words, you will live holy. We will pursue to live holy. Our pursuit, I want you to understand this, our pursuit is to live holy. He whom delivers in Christ and sanctified positionally for Christ is that come to make sanctification. Next must come the pursuit of holiness. Okay, so that's great, right? So let's look at letter B. See, the pursuit to live holy. Now look at the problem. You can say our problem. Let's have it happen, but I don't put all of that. We are on pursuit. We are to pursue holiness. Now, our problem with living holy. Now, if you live very long as a Christian, you know that it's not easy to live holy, right? You might want to raise your hand. But we have a problem with that, okay? Now, there's something that hinders us from living. And I have two things wrote down. I didn't put it up here, but this is number one and number two on the letter B if you do outlines. If you like taking notes, the first problem is the propagation of false doctrine, which is in our text, okay? The propagation of false doctrine, okay? The propagation of false doctrine is an obstacle to living holy. We've already talked about these, but they're still relevant even today, very relevant. The first one here is legalism. Which legalism is the wrong dependency on the law for salvation. And that's what legalism is. There's nothing wrong with the law itself, but the law should never be dependent upon for salvation. We all would mostly agree with that. And I quoted somebody, I don't know who it is, because I didn't put it in there. But also for sanctification. Now that's where our legalism comes in. None of y'all would say that you got to keep the law to be saved. But many of us would say to be holy, you got to depend on the law to be holy. See, legalism is the wrong dependency upon the law for salvation, but it's also the wrong dependency on the law to progress in your sanctification. We talked about that last week. What happens? Love should be motivating you because the Holy Spirit produces that agape love. I want you to understand. So that's legalism. The believer has no use for the law and the means of salvation. Because through Christ, he has already been saved and adopted into God's heavenly household. Nor does he need the governmental system of the law to guide him in his new life because he has Christ's own spirit. In fact, the more a believer attempts to force himself to live by rules and regulations, no matter how lofty they may be, he stifles the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, I'm going to say this as a preface. God uses scripture, all that. But technically, all you have to have, and that's what John MacArthur said, I didn't quote it, I didn't put it in here. And technically, doctrinally, all you have to have is the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, he uses scripture, all that, all works together, but stay with me. Although Bible study, prayer, worship, witness, certain behaviors, standard or command of believers, and essentially to faithful Christian living, spirituality cannot be measured by how often or how intentionally we are involved in such things. To use them as a measure of spirituality is to become entrapped in legalism. I'm going to sound like that one point. No matter, you cannot measure spirituality by how often or how intentionally you do such things. To live solely by a set of law and to live by the flesh in self-righteousness and hypocrisy to suppress the spirit, which alone enable anyone to produce works of true righteousness. So think about this for a minute. The Holy Spirit is a whole lot powerful than your to-do list and how intense you are about something. And I got a quote, I think, Brother Matt. Should come up next. And it's a continuation. Holy living does not get John MacArthur, by the way. It's his commentary on Galatians. Holy living does not come from our performance for God, but from his performance through us by his own spirit. That's a very true statement. See, the first one is legalism. Holy living doesn't come from our performance for God, but from his performance through us by his own spirit. Now, yeah, when the Holy Spirit is performing in us, it is going to call us to perform for God. But we get the cart before the horse. So don't get me wrong, y'all. Last week, if you're here last week, this really helped for this week, okay? Or what I'm going to get to. But I want you to say it again. Holy living does not come from our performance for God. It comes from from his performance through us by his own spirit. I want you to understand that. Only pride and ignorance could lead a believer to live by an outward list of rules and commands in his own limited sinful power, when he can live by the perfect and fully sufficient inner power of the Holy Spirit. And yet many believers try to live holy by their own power. There's some good people who are saved, who have their to-do list, and they're intense about it. And they're very strict. But that's not how you live holy. That's not the key to living holy. They reject the law for salvation, but they accept the law of rule and their own power to help them further their holiness. I think in the next slide here, let me see. A person cannot come to God by means of law keeping, nor can he sustain living for God by keeping the law. And that may be your own made up law. It may be laws you made up. I don't need to do this. I don't need to go here. I don't need to do that. And some of that stuff is a good thing. But a person cannot, and we understand when it comes to salvation, a person cannot come to God by the means of law keeping, but here's the thing, nor can he sustain living for God by keeping the law. Basically, what I said a minute ago, you can't be saved by keeping the law, and you can't be sanctified, growing in sanctification by keeping the law. I want you to understand that. And that is one of the problems of living holy. But also propagation of false doctrine in legalism. So we always want to talk about something that Oprah's talking about. I know she don't have a show now, I don't think, but, or something like that. But how many of us have been guilty? Would anybody like raise your hand that you've been guilty of this? I have. That's a false doctrine that you probably created in your own self and didn't even realize it. See, that's why we need to worry about us more than anybody else. But the second one now is the second propagation of false doctrine is the license to sin, okay? Which is in the content. Although we learned last week that freedom from the law doesn't mean lawlessness, okay? In a nutshell what we learned last week. Liberty from the Old Testament doesn't equal lawlessness. Just like in America, we're free in America, but we still have laws, right? Yes. And we're not completely free. We talked about that last week with driving the Mustang. But you're going to get in trouble if you get caught going 100 miles an hour in a Mustang. You're not free to do that. Not really. But I want you to understand this. Liberty from the law has been misapplied and misused, whether out of ignorance or on purpose. But the reality is that some people take freedom, liberty, to say, I can live like I want to, and that also hinders the believer from living holy. Think about it. I mean, if you've learned, say you're a legalist. You say, I got to keep these rules to live holy or to be holy. Well, then you have an obstacle. You're not living holy because you're living by this to-do list. And you got this other group who say, well, we don't even have a to-do list. We don't have to do anything that the Bible said. We're good to go. Well, you're not going to live holy either. That's another obstacle. That's a problem. So the first problem is propagating false doctrine. And we have that today. But the second problem, and let's go back. Can you go back a slide or two slides? All right. So now I'm going to kind of get to the wrong problem with living holy. The first one was propagating false doctrine. The second one is the plight with the flesh. Look at verse 17. So we have another problem with living holy. Is our flesh. Not just propagating false doctrine, but also the plight with the flesh. And look at verse 17. It said, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. Here's the conflict. The flesh represents the old man, the old nature, and natural desires to do what's evil and what's against the will of God. Here's the thing, I want you to get this, and it's very important. I read it behind Wiest. That's W-E-S-T, Wiest Greek Word Study. And I like what he said. Sin has been defeated, right? Amen. Unfortunately, our sin nature has not been eradicated. I never heard it in that one, but it's true. Sin has been defeated, but it's not been eradicated. And it's not going to be eradicated until we get a new body, which is the third process of a third thing about sanctification. Positional sanctification, progressive sanctification, but then perfect sanctification when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, and then it's key, what I'm going to tie it in a minute. This is key, because you have a sin nature. It's been defeated. It's going to be the key to living holy. It has been defeated, but it's not been eradicated. Which means you still got that little devil here, some people like to say, you still got that desire to do what's bad, even as a Christian, because it's not been eradicated. Okay? Because this is going to apply here in a minute. I'm setting you up to these people saying, just let go and let God. You'll see, well, that's not really right, because you'll see you still got a sin nature. You can't just go to la-la. You can't go lackadaisical, okay? Just stay with me. The Christian must live a long life battle with sin and self. The two natures in us lie in constant conflict with each other. Even Paul said this. Paul even said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to form that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I do, I'm going to stop there because I'm done. I'm tired of reading it, to be honest with you. Anyway, what Paul's saying there, he said, I have a flesh that doesn't want to do what's right. You know, I want you to get to this word, so many people, they think when you get saved, all of a sudden, God just took over and he's going to take care of everything. No, that's called heaven. And we're not there yet. That's what we understand. Because, once again, complete sanctification. I kind of got ahead of myself. As we struggle to live holy, our flesh, as we strive to live holy, our flesh will struggle to do wrong. We will not receive complete sanctification, a complete eradication of sin till we reach heaven. We have been saved from the guilt. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. We've been saved from the power of sin. And ultimately, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. But until then, we have a major problem with living holy. Us. Our flesh. I want you to understand. Okay? So, and our little to-do list is not going to change. It ain't going to keep you living holy. Okay? That's why legalism isn't going to work. For sanctification. Okay? So, we are to pursue a life of holiness. We are faced with some problems. Some people propagate a false doctrine. And basically one of them is legalism, which is people try too hard to live holy and can't. And the other one is, woo, do what you want, and they don't try at all. But there's another problem, and that is with us. So, here's the question. What is the answer? What's the answer to living holy? Because we just got a storm, man. We just got a big old tornado up here. What do we do? If we're not supposed to live like we want to, and we can't fulfill the law because we still have a sin nature, what are we to do? I'm glad you asked. We're going to see that in verse 16. The remedy, number two, the remedy to live holy. The remedy. I've already read it, verse 16. This I say then, because last week we talked about all of that, about legalism and the license of sin. This I say, walk in the Spirit. And what? Now let's read the next point. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's it. Walk in the Spirit. All right, let's go home. Not yet. Because what does that mean? Example, I mean, let's be honest. Just walk, probably say, you need to walk in the spirit. You need to walk in the spirit. Amen. But what does that mean? Too many people make this mystical, Holy Spirit's gonna pick me up and put me on a cloud, and I'm gonna live happily ever after. That's heaven. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. So let's first look at literally the results of walking. I'm only kind of ahead of myself. That's okay. The process. He said, walk in the spirit. Okay. Paul said, he said, the solution to not become a legalist or sinning at will is to walk in the spirit. Paul's solution with our battle with the flesh that won't see until our reunion with Christ is to walk in the spirit. Okay. Then it says the next part, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The result of walking in the spirit is that you don't walk to the desires of the flesh, which means you live holy. Okay, that's what you understand. That's what that means. When it says you don't give in to the flesh, that means the result that you will live holy. The remedy is to walk in the spirit. But what does that mean? What does that encompass? See, that's what we got to do. That's the thing we have to dig deeper. I mean, it's great. I mean, that is the answer. That is the answer. Walk in the spirit. But what does that mean? Well, let it be. The responsibility to walk in the spirit. Okay, now that's where we're going to see. Well, we're going to kind of tie it all together, hopefully. If I can do that. Well, I'll say that the responsibility, okay, and the reason I'm going this direction, and this is going to be the key to understanding this. Okay, in other words, it's your responsibility. Okay, so stay with me. I mean, your responsibility to walk in the Spirit isn't the Holy Spirit's responsibility. Now, let me say that again, in case you didn't hear it. Because that sounds kind of blasphemous. In a little bit. The responsibility to walk in the Spirit isn't the Holy Spirit's responsibility. Thank you. Thank you. Let me just read it, and then I'll give you a quote. I'm going to read a quote, and I'm going to show you a quote. So don't change the slides yet. The power for Christian living is entirely from the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the power. You've got the power. Ain't there a song about that? You got the power. Just as the power of salvation is entirely in Jesus Christ. But both the justifying work of Christ and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, man's will in active and commitment is called for. Alright, so let's go to the slide now. The John MacArthur, by the way. The Christian is not just sit on the sideline as it were and simply watch the Holy Spirit do battle for him. So this ideal, I call it mystical deity world Christianity. The Holy Spirit's just gonna, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, I'm not trying to be ugly, but getting saved, not like getting high. You gotta think. You gotta work, okay? So, I want you to understand this. Now, let me keep you up there for right now, I guess. Here's the answer, okay? I want you to stay with me. The Holy Spirit gives you a new nature. And if you see there in that verse, in verse 16, to walk in the Spirit, Robert Piccirilli, the general editor of the Randall House Commentary, which is the Full Baptist Commentary, did a very, very, very good. He didn't write them, but he was the editor of it. He said the Spirit is used here to describe a man's new nature. And I have no problem with that because either way, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, he gives you a new nature. Just stay with me. Because we still got that old sin nature. It's not been eradicated. It's going to tie it all together. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and he disables to some degree your sin nature. But then, he gives you a new nature. He gives you, that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's there, the Holy Spirit gives you a new nature. He gives you both the desire and the power to do the will of God, to live holy. Okay? So now you have two forces. You have your new nature, which is the Holy Spirit, that wants to do what's right, and a desire to do right. And you have the flesh, which is the power of being broken, but not eradicated, and you have the flesh. So now, hear this. Now, you have a choice to walk in your new nature. That's what it is. I'm going to explain a little more. You now have a choice to walk in the new nature. And by the way, if you look there at the word walk, that's a command to you and to me. That's not a command to the Holy Spirit. That's a command to meet you. And by the way, that's a continuous action. In the Greek, the verb tense, I think it may be a participle. I don't remember now. It is a continuous action. We are literally to walk. It is to conduct one's behavior and manner of life. See, you have been given the Holy Spirit that has given you a new nature. Now you are ordered to conduct yourself in ability of that new ability that's been given to you. That's what it is. So basically, I'm gonna say a little more. I got a flashlight here. I'm gonna use it here in a minute. Y'all get excited. Now, well, again, the problem with so many people, they think salvation means they're in heaven now. And that sin nature has been eradicated. It hasn't. Sin has been defeated. And you still have that, you still have the sin desire. But now you have something to combat that with. You have the Holy Spirit who's giving you a new nature. The problem though, now you've got two desires inside of you. And you've got to choose. Each and every day. Again, along with reading your Bible, Bible teaching, all that goes in hand. But all that, now, have you ever this week known you shouldn't do something? Or vice versa, and give the other? You know what that is? That's your sin nature and the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, we're supposed to pick the Holy Spirit. That's all I'm really saying. There's nothing mystical about it. Really, it's a lot of hard work on our part. Here's another slide. This is wisdom. We must be careful to notice that Paul put upon the believer the responsibility of refusing to obey the behest of evil nature by conducting himself in the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit resides in you. He changed your nature. He gave you the ability to say no to sin. But the Holy Spirit isn't going to take over your body and do it for you. I'm going to say that again, because that sounds like, what? The Holy Spirit resides in you. He changes your nature. He gave you the ability to say no to sin, but the Holy Spirit isn't going to take over your body and do it for you. John MacArthur said, walking the Spirit has been used to teach the ideal that Christian living is little more than passive submission. Passive. And yielding to God. They are contrary to all the militant term and command for great effort and commitment that pervade the New Testament. The New Testament is pervaded with militant term and command to put great effort to your walk with Christ. And what's happening, we say, the Holy Spirit's inside of me. That's not just a passive submission, like, oh, you know, like, I don't have to really work at this. No. No. I got another quote up here. The Holy Spirit is weak again. The Holy Spirit is not a perpetual motion machine which operates automatically in the life of the believer. Okay? I'm gonna read, I didn't put the whole thing up there. The Holy Spirit is not a perpetual motion machine which operates automatically in the life of the believer. He is a divine person waiting to be depended upon for his ministry and expecting the saint to cooperate with him. Oh, yes, the Holy Spirit, does he give you power? Yes. Does he change your nature? Yes. But he is not a perpetual motion machine that takes over you, and then you just sit back and say, oh, I got saved. I'm going to live holy now. No! When we get to heaven, we can do that, because we can rest in heaven, because at that point, we'll be completely sanctified. We're not completely sanctified yet. On perfect sanctification. The choice lies with the believer as to whether he is going to yield to the Holy Spirit or obey the evil nature. The Spirit is always there to give him victory over the nature, and the saint says no to sin, and at the same time trust the Spirit to give him victory over it. Walking in the Spirit is the command for you to engage and use the resources of the Holy Spirit has provided. It means you have a responsibility, a choice. Between your new nature that the Spirit has given you and your attitude over your sin nature that has been defeated but not eradicated. Choosing to walk in the Spirit is basically choosing your new nature. Walking in the Spirit is simply choosing to obey your new nature that the Holy Spirit has given you. It calls for you to be active. against light will represent the Holy Spirit. I'm not even going to turn it on because you ain't going to see. I gave my wife a demonstration the other day. It was really good. So I hope I do this good. This is what people think. I get saved. The Holy Spirit just shining on me. And I just bask in that sunlight. And I just take it easy. And he's just going to take over and take, you know, God's going to take over. And I just put my mind on just turning off. Holy Spirit inside of you. The light's not shining on you, it's shining out of you. And when you get saved, that new nature, that light shining in you, that's a dark hallway, and you still got that sin nature, that dark hallway. So now, each and every day, the Holy Spirit convicts you, and you have read the Word of God, and it's powerful, and it's in you, and you renew your mind, and that light's shining, and you got the love, that God paid love in you, and the Holy Spirit saying, get the way you should go. With your sin nature saying, let's do this. You got to make a choice. And how many times, just last week, have you done something that you know you shouldn't have before you did it? And you made a choice, right? Whether you made the right choice or the wrong choice, that's it. That's it. That's your two natures. Your old sin nature and your new nature. And what he's saying here is that now you, the key to living holy, is walk in the way the light's shining. Walk in a way that the Holy Spirit's tugging you to do. Sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it may be a TV show. You know, you have that little bit, well, I shouldn't do that. Well, I shouldn't watch that. Or I need to talk to that person about salvation. You remember having them moments? That was you walking. That was your choice. Your choice. Am I going to walk in the Spirit? Or am I going to walk in the dark? That's my sin nature. That's all that's really is. There's nothing, I mean, very spiritual, but nothing mystical. It's not, let go and let God. No, that's not biblical. That, the Holy Spirit provides the desire and knowledge and power to have victory, to do right. But it's up to you to make that choice. By the way, my preacher, my mentor, Brother Jeff Jones, he always says about salvation, but it's true about Christians. God is the perfect gentleman. God is the perfect gentleman. He's not going to make you do anything. And even the Holy Spirit inside of him, he's not going to make you go this way. He's not going to say, okay, Holy Spirit, okay. No, he's not going to do that. That's your choice. We're free will bad, so it's definitely, we believe in free will. You have the power. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the knowledge. And in that fork in the road, you got the light shining this way, or your sin that you say, do this. And that's the holy living. The more time that we need to say, that's going to be holy living. You don't need that list of rules on your wall. Now, yeah, I didn't put in every year the scripture used to help us and equip us. But that's it. That's walking in the Spirit. That's what it means. That's the key to holy living. That's the remedy to legalism, and that's the remedy to do whatever I want to. And just like I thought, we're almost out of time. I've been going over, so I know that. No one said anything, but I've noticed. So we see the review to live holy. We see the remedy to live holy. And then the third thing, which I'm just going to kind of hint at, the rebellion to live holy. Now the struggle to live holy, even for us. Why? I'm called a rebellion. And by the way, if you look at that verse, we're not going to talk about it, but it says here, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Mainly, you can't do both. You can't be led by the Spirit and live under legalism, which that's what they were, because that in the context of the letter, that's what they were struggling with. They were struggling with legalism. Here's the thing, you can't walk in the Spirit and say, woo! You also can't walk in the Spirit and say, okay, now, we've got to follow these laws. Get up, everybody, let's go, let's repent them. After, okay, now let's go out. No. You've got to walk in the Spirit. But here's the problem. We like to rebel against that. Some rebel on the condition. Letter A, we'll just kind of go through it real quick. In condition to live over. Some people, and that's where we're at, like, we rebel against condition. Like I said, some of us would rather choose legalism. Oh, here it is. I did put it in there. Although the Spirit uses Scripture to assist believers to grow in truth and holiness, He Himself is the supreme source of these virtues. Holy Spirit is. Making and live a biblical mandate in it, the key to living holy, walking in the Spirit is. Some of us choose legalism. We rebel against the condition. Nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep doing it my way. But some of us are what I call lackadaisical, forgetting that you have a responsibility to live holy. That's what happened with a lot. And that's what I say, our culture today, in the church culture, I say you have a lot of that. Especially in my generation. Your generation might struggle more legalism, I don't know. But my generation probably deals with it. You know, let go and let God, and God don't care. You have liberty. A lackadaisical. No, that's wrong too. We like to rebel. No, we do. We need to be concerned. We need to put effort and commitment toward it. We are commanding to walk in the Spirit. Let it be, some rebel against the command. Here's the thing. Some people don't live holy because they just reject the fact that the Bible says that. The Bible does say that. There is a command. And I think most of us in this room would accept the command to live holy, but here it is. That's what some people do. They rebel. Here's the thing. Your new nature and the flesh will war, but don't rebel to the command or the condition to living holy. And we conclude here, we are to live holy. We are to live holy by walking in the Spirit. That means surrendering to the new nature that the Spirit has given you and say no to your flesh. That's it. Like when you, if you, and I mean, I'm not a little feely person and emotional. If you want that feeling about feeling like Christ, well, there is something feeling called the Holy Spirit. And most of you this week have had moments when you did something and the Holy Spirit pricked you and you said, man, I shouldn't have done that. Or my fooling did it. That's the Holy Spirit. And when he's saying it, saying you need to surrender to the Holy Spirit in the moments. That's what he's saying. The Holy Spirit's active, right? And this week, he's going to convict you. When he does, listen, that's the key to holiness. There will be a war. There is a war. You're going to be tempted to rebel, but don't. Because here's the thing. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. Here's what I would say, and I'm not really going to repeat everything I said, but I would say, first, we need to wake up and get active in the right way. I mean, I've thought about this week. I've thought about this week, and I've studied it, and I even saw my own life in time, and I be honest, I've never really thought about it. I mean, I've been kind of blind in this principle. I thought it was different things I did or didn't do. And I had that split second, like, what should I do? I thought, oh. I said, Brother Marcus, oh, that's it. That's the Holy Spirit telling me what to do. And I want to do this, but what I'm supposed to do is this. Then do it. That's really it. That's really it. But most of us live our lives because we live our lives as a legalist or woo. So we say, well, so what happens with a legalist? You have these 10 things. Go to church, read your Bible. But if you're not doing you're not doing what the Bible says when the Spirit convicts you, and you're not doing it when he says do it, then you're not going to live holy, you're not going to live holy. That's the key to holiness. Because here's the thing, there's no way you can memorize every command in the Bible, but there's somebody who does, and somebody who has them. That's the Holy Spirit, and it's inside of you. And so that's when you may not realize, but when he pricks you, that's how we can fulfill the whole law. Because you can do it your way, but all you're going to do is have about 10 or 15 things. And that's all you can do the rest of your life. And you're going to live unholy and defeated and blinded if you're not living holy. But you think you are. That's the key to walking in the Spirit. And when the Spirit speaks, do what he says. And we stand on our feet with the heads bowed and the eyes closed just out of respect just for everyone just for a minute. I'm going to have the piano players come up. I was looking really forward to this sermon. I wish I could communicate everything I learned, but I'll be honest with you, it sounds crazy to say, I never really knew what it meant to walk in the Spirit. To be honest with you, I thought walking in the Spirit was reading your Bible every day, making a list of do's and don'ts, and you can put that in there. I mean, that's good to do, but that's not it. And when it is, that the Holy Spirit inside of me, and when he prompts me to do something, do it. And when the sin nature says do something and don't do it. What about you today? And as they begin to play, have you, I know you can, because I know I can. This week, when there's something that you should have done that you didn't do, and you know the Holy Spirit, you can't walk in the Spirit. When there's something that you did that the Holy Spirit said no and you did it, that was the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You didn't walk in the Spirit. You don't walk in the Spirit. And yet, Elijah will come through the Word of God and learning it and having it inside of you. But here's the thing, you got the living Word of God inside of you right now if you're saved. I'll say one of the biggest areas too is without witnessing. And if somebody's witnessing, you should have. I know I should have. There's somebody who I should have talked to a little bit about their spiritual well-being. I didn't do it. The Holy Spirit told me to, but I didn't. You know what I did? I didn't walk in the Spirit. And there's somebody like that for you? There's somebody you need to go talk to that you didn't? That's walking in the Spirit. That's doing it when the Spirit tells you to. I mean, it may be something else. It may be something that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. Maybe you're watching things you shouldn't. Maybe you're listening to things you shouldn't. And when you do it, you know it bothers you a little bit, and you know you probably shouldn't, but you do it anyway. That's not walking in the Spirit. That's the opposite of walking in the Spirit. And guess what? You're not living holy. Because the key to holiness is to walk in the Spirit. I mean, I can go on and on, but what is it for you today? What is it for you today? Maybe you're not showing love to someone. Maybe you're unforgiving to someone. I don't know what it is. And you know you should change it because you've got the Holy Spirit telling you, but you don't. That's the key. Now, you can keep reading the Bible, and you can keep making your list, and you can keep doing the 10 things that you do each week to make you feel like a good Christian. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not a good Christian. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not living holy. So we'll play through one more time, and then we'll close. If the Holy Spirit has dealt with you, I want to encourage you to come here or in your preacher's seat.